And we're glad to see everybody here tonight. And if you're here for the first time, we give you a special welcome. We're glad to see you. And we hope God will bless you for coming. And if you're not saved, that God will bless you with salvation. And I want to read three scriptures. And the first one is in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. I was thinking just this last hour or so, I've been thinking of three different hours in the Bible. Three different hours. We're going to be very simple tonight, friends, that even if you're not acquainted with the Bible at all, I think you'll be able to follow us pretty well. So the first hour I want to read about and speak about for a minute is an hour of suffering. Let's read from verse 32 of this chapter 14. So they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit ye here while I shall pray." And he taketh them, Peter and James and John, began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And says unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Turn ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass away from him. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thy will." Now, we just want you to know especially and remember especially the words of verse 35. He prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And let's turn to Acts chapter 16, the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. And let's just read from verse 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' And he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.' And they speak unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house." Now look at the next verse particularly. "And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his streetly. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat or food before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Now there's an hour of salvation. The same hour of the night. The midnight hour. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 24 for one other verse. Matthew chapter 24. And verse 44. Now the Lord is speaking about what's often called the second coming. It's So he says in verse 44 here, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. There's an hour for crying. For crying. An hour of suffering, first of all, I want you to think of, friends. You know what? The Lord Jesus, while he was here on earth, he frequently spoke about this hour. That was a term, an expression he used quite often. Mine hour. Sometimes he would say, mine hour has not yet come. And one time, John chapter 7, people wanted to arrest him. And they laid hands on him. But actually, they couldn't really arrest him. It says, because his hour was not yet come. There were other occasions when he just walked through a crowd of hostile people that were trying to throw over a cliff. His hour wasn't come. And just before he reached the cross, just before he got to Gethsemane, John, who doesn't tell us about Gethsemane, he says that Christ spoke to the Father in the hearing of other people. And he said, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. And then immediately he added, but for this cause came I unto this hour. But now we've got to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Lord has become, as we've read in Mark 14 here, so amazed and very happy. And he's saying that my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And Luke tells us that being in an agony, he prayed even more earnestly. Imagine the Son of God praying more earnestly than he ever did before. But he did. He prayed more earnestly. And Luke tells us, who was a doctor, he says there were sweat was falling from him, like great drops of blood. As he bowed there in the garden, the sweat was dripping off him, as if there were great clots of blood falling down to the ground. And Luke also tells us that there was an angel from heaven that suddenly appeared and strengthened the blessed Lord as he lay there in the garden. Imagine a mere creature of the Lord's hands. He made this angel. He made all angels, visible and invisible, things in heaven and earth, everywhere. He made them since Colossians 1. One of his own creatures came from heaven to strengthen them. He said, Father, save me from this hour. If it's possible, save me from it. He's speaking about Calvary, the hour of suffering. Hebrews chapter 5 tells us that he wept. Who in the days of his flesh, when they had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save them out of death, was heard that he feared. The Lord cried, the Lord wept, shed tears, as well as sweat dropping from him, as I said, like great clots of blood. And he's anticipating what he's going to go through on the cross, the hour of suffering. Was the Lord scared of suffering? Not himself.
some of the Son of God's martyrs. They went to a death of suffering cheerfully. Some of them went to the fires and to the lions, safe, praising God, that they've been counted worthy to die for Christ. They weren't scared of something. This is the Lord of the martyrs. You think he's afraid? He's not afraid of death or suffering.
That's right. He knows.
That we're hanging on the cross.
For 3 hours, he's going to suffer in a way that nobody else ever would or ever will. And he's going to be abandoned by God. He's going to be forsaken. The holy God of heaven is going to forsake him. He knows that. He says, Father, if it's possible, let this hour pass from me. Oh, friend, no human mind, no matter how brilliant, no matter how sharp and intelligent, can understand the suffering of Christ, what he went through on Calvary for 3 hours. The weight of the world's sin upon him, and paying a penalty for the sins of sinners who believe on him. Friend, I'm humbly glad to tell you tonight, and I say this carefully, I'm glad to tell you tonight that he bore my hell on the cross. The equivalent of my hell and my lake of fire was borne by him on the cross. That's what he suffered for me. All that I would have gone through throughout eternal ages and in the darkness of hell and the lake of fire, he got it all. And millions more on top of that. And because he was the infinite Son of God, God himself, manifest in flesh, because he was, he could take it all. But he knew the awfulness of it. And he knew that God's face would be hid from him, and he'd be left, God abandoned. Friend, I'm glad tonight. I'm glad he went through it. Supposing he had got up, we're only using human tonight. Supposing he had got up and said, I can't go through with this. I can't stand this. I just can't face this hour anymore. Suppose he had done that. Then there's no hope for me, and no hope for you, and no hope for anybody else. We're all doomed. But friend, he went through it. And I sing tonight, O death, O grave, I do not dread your power. The ransom paid on Jesus, in that dark and dreadful hour, my guilt was laid. Yes, that hour, that dark and dreadful hour. Can you say that? Does it mean anything to you? The cross? The Savior's suffering? The hour of suffering? Does it mean anything to you? Now, it either means everything to you or it means nothing. That's all. That's what it amounts to. It either means everything to you or it means nothing to you. What does it mean to you tonight? Well, I'm glad to tell you about an hour of salvation. Acts chapter 16 here is a man that finally gets saved at the midnight. Of course, he would probably isn't the only case. Of course, he wouldn't be. There's bound to be thousands of others that get saved at midnight. I don't know personally, but I'm sure there's thousands of others. He took them the same hour. What are you talking about? He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Was baptized. He and all his children. What hour is that? Well, it was the midnight hour. It was the hour whenever he had cried out, Sir, what must I do to be saved? I'm lost. The man was on the brink of a suicide grave. About to stick a sword under his top, and that's it, as far as this world is concerned, anyway.
Friend, I realize that these two men that's in the cell there that I put them in, and their feet, they're fastened as dogs, they're in the black, dark dungeon. These men, they must be of God. I've heard from the city that they're preaching about Jesus, and they're showing unto us the way of salvation. That's what the poor lunatic or demon-possessed girl was saying. These men are the servants of the Most High God. They show unto us the way of salvation. Like maybe that got through to the news in the jail. And when Paul has cried out in the darkness of the... He said, Paul naturally wouldn't know what the man was doing, because there's no light. He's about to kill himself, and Paul and Silas are shouting, do yourself no harm, we're all here. God has told them what the man's about to do. And as we would say, puts two and two together. And he calls for a light. It's all dark. Calls for a light. And springs in where they are, that dungeon. And falls down before them and says, sir, Lord, what must I do to be saved? So they lost no time in telling them. And the substance of what they told them was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And they preached the word of the Lord unto all, to him and to all that were in the house. They gave him the gospel. And the very center, the very core of their message was, now, if it's a poor, guilty sinner, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you trust him, you'll be saved. You're asking about how to be saved, you're saved. Oh, friend, what an hour for that man. He'd never forget it. How could he? He took them the same hour of the night. If you'd asked him a year afterwards, or a lot of years afterwards, and the poor fellow lived, and so ask him, how did you get saved? And when was it? Oh, he'd have brought you back to that night in Philippi there, to the jailhouse. And he would have, among other things, he'd have said, you know, it was just the midnight hour. Just as we would say, 12 o'clock. And right then and there, as I was down on my knees, listening to Paul and Silas preach the gospel, I really did believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I took him as my Savior. I knew it was full of hell, and I deserved to be there. But I took him as my Savior. I believed on him that night. My family did too. For it says he believed in the Lord with all his heart. There are no babies in arms there. All intelligent enough to listen and believe. And he was said, that was the hour I got saved. Tell me, dear woman, or man, or boy, or girl in this meeting tonight, have you got an hour in your life like that? Well, if you haven't, friend, I want to tell you kindly, you're not going to glory. You're not going to heaven. Now, I'm not asking you to put your finger on the calendar and on the hands of the clock. I'm not asking you about that. Some people's memories fill them, and we allow for all that. But friend, if you're saved, if you're going to glory, there's an hour when you started for heaven, when you get saved, when you were born again, you trust in Christ. Now it's likely, friend, that it's likely, if this is the hour tonight, I hope it is, from 7 to 8 o'clock in this meeting here, you'll never forget it. You'll praise God forever. You will. You'll praise God forever. The man that wrote that hymn that people tell me everywhere, it's their favorite hymn, Amazing Grace, I give them a track by that name. Oh, they say, that's not my favorite. I wonder how it is. A lot of the cases that's telling that. Amazing Grace, her sweetest son, has saved a wretch like me. If I were to tell those people they're sinful wretches, they're lost, they're blind, they'd be insulted. But that's what they say is their favorite hymn. And John Newton wrote that hymn. And one of the verses says, 'Twas grace, 'twas grace that wrote my name, or that taught my heart to fear, Father. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. 'Twas grace my fears relieved. How precious did that hour appear when first I believed. Oh, friend, John Newton had an hour to look back to when he first believed in Christ. What about you? Would you make it tonight? I hope you will. I want to close with speaking about an hour for a minute. It's going to be one of the most dreadful, startling hours this world has ever known. That's the hour when the Lord comes. You've heard about it, haven't you? You've heard about the Lord's coming. I tell you, friend, if you knew that hour was going to be tonight, you wouldn't leave this meeting. You wouldn't leave this meeting without being saved. I can tell you that. If you happen to be, and I don't know anybody that is doing this, but if you happen to be chewing gum right now, you wouldn't be doing it. If you knew that this was the night the hour was going to take place. And you wouldn't be sleeping if you knew that this was the hour, that this was the night the hour was going to take place. No. You'd be sitting forward on your seat with your eyes glued on me or anybody else that's preaching. And your ears would be taken in every word. And if you didn't get saved, you'd be stopping at the door and saying, look, if you can help me in any way, I want to be helped tonight. I want to be saved. See, you don't know, friend, but this could be the night. Such an hour as you think now. The Lord Jesus is coming in two figures, shall we say, in two characters. He's coming as a bridegroom for those who are saved. He's coming as a thief for those who are out. Just putting it simply. Of course there's talk about Christ coming today. Generally it's a kind of a cause or a source of amusement to other ungodly people. And the Word of God said it would be anyway. 2 Peter chapter 3, in the last days, scoffers will come. Say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Peter says they're willingly ignorant of us. Willful ignorance. Certainly they're willfully ignorant of the criticalness of the times we're living in, for that's right. A very critical time is the worst passing through. A friend, it would only be a most unreasonable person who wouldn't conclude by all that's happening in the world today that we're heading up to some kind of a climax. And I can tell you, friend, that climax in the world's history will be triggered by the Lord's coming for his people, for those who are saved. And it will be true, it'll be an hour of surprise and shock. Two shall be in one bed, the one taken and the other left. Two grinding at the mill, the one taken and the other left. Two people working in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. It'll be an awful hour of surprise and shock. Too late it will be for those who are unsaved, left behind, wishing they'd never seen the light of day, wishing they'd never been born. This is what I heard about all along. Now it's happened. Of course, just wait a few days, maybe, and you'll get a plausible explanation from the newspapers. Maybe they'll talk about aliens coming out of space, you know, and abducting a lot of people. They're kind of preparing you for that now. People seeing all kinds of aliens from space. The next thing, somebody will disappear. And then they'll say, well, that's what's happened, you know. These aliens have come from space and a lot of people are gone. The whole thing, of course, will be a lie. The Lord will come. And your father or your mother or your son or your daughter
or your husband, or your wife will have gone. And you're left, my friend. Left to the horror
of the realization. There's no hope for me now. There's hope for you tonight, friend. Oh, go in for God's salvation. As a sensible woman or man, boy or girl, go in for God's salvation. And God will save you and make this the hour when you truly first believe.